This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
I sounded a little hot in my ears there.
That's right.
Sometimes my voice is too loud.
Well, you heard Hagen Hamilton.
I know, and I'm so excited.
And you got a little excited.
I did, because sitting right beside us in the third chair today is TJ Sullivan from Hagen Hamilton Insurance. How are you, TJ?
I'm really good. Hagen, you can say that.
Hagen Hamilton Insurance.
That was the biggest thing we had when we opened up in Salem was telling people how to spell Hagen and pronounce Hagen.
Hagen or Hagen?
You said it right. Hagen.
Okay. Because I have this thing. I don't like to mispronounce names.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I had one time, and it was, I'll just have to tell the story. I was doing news reads for Bill Post back in the day, and I got some copy, and I pronounced it Owaxaca. And it's Oaxaca, and I did it, and he never let me forget that. I've never lived that one down, so I always double check. Well, I'll do like Google Translate or Google Speech. How do I say this word?
It is very important. I remember a number of years back, we had a morning guy, and he would come in at like 4 something in the morning, and he had mispronounced during a sports report some players' names, I believe for Oregon State or something. Mm-hmm. And he showed up here at about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and there was a listener waiting outside to correct him.
Oh, see, people take it seriously if you do. And mine was just, I mean, I know the word, but I read it, and I think I was just reading it phonetically because I was reading the copy, and I screwed it up. So I've always been sensitive about it, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it should. I went to school with a kid named Chi Nguyen.
Oh.
And boy, when we get a substitute teacher and she would try to pronounce, or he would try to pronounce his name and just butcher it, and then the whole class would laugh. That just, it drive me crazy.
Oh, gosh. I actually, in middle school, got called Dennis. Like, really? Come on. Anyway, I'm not Dennis. Anyway, TJ, you're here. And so we do monthly community champions. You were just creating some magicka before the show. And so you listeners can be sure to hear that coming up for the rest of this month, for the month of August. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tease what you said. We'll just have to be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is magical.
I know. We work magic around here. We do. But we want to talk today, because this has been a topic of conversation. We talked last week. Hunter and I talked last week. I watched the Salem City Council meeting. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Again, I had to have an adult beverage to do it, but I did it. But the Varis Data Center, and of course, we had commentary about the crowd and the lack of decorum and the lack of control. I mean, to me, I think how the representatives from the company were treated very rudely. And then, of course, the governor came out and basically said, nah, kibosh, killed it. So talk to us, because you obviously, you're a former Salem City Council. You're very well connected. You know what's going on in the city. What's going on?
Well, I would tell you that, first of all, it was very disheartening for those of us that were born and raised in Salem to see that council meeting. And it was like, that's not how my community welcomes visitors.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it was not how my community welcomes visitors, because a lot of these people came in from other areas.
Yeah.
Understand that people came in from other areas. And as was related to me from people that were in the line, there was altercations. There was So a lot of people who showed up to testify in favor of the data center are union contractors that are going to be working on the job, and they're excited about this potential for construction because it means employment. It means good, solid labor for a year, 2 years while they build it. Mm-hmm. And there was a person there who was not, she was not having any of it, and pushed one of the gentlemen who was there, contractors. And the gentleman's wife went and got the police, and the lady came back and was like, oh, boo-hoo, and was mocking him. And like, oh, a little push. You want to see a push? And she got kind of a running start and ran and hit him hard enough to knock him down. And the cops were right there, and Salem PD did a great job of arresting her for assault. And that's one of the people that was out there in the line. And so when people mock the Varis representatives for leaving the meeting because they didn't feel safe, that's what they were up against. And so that's not Salem. That's not who we are.
No.
And, you know, the city council really had a responsibility. And I talked to a lot of them about it and said, you guys have a microphone in front of you. You don't have to leave it. They all tried to blame the chair, Linda Nishioka, for, you know, not controlling the meeting better. I was like, You know, when you're hearing noises come from all around the room, you have a responsibility to say, listen, if this is how we're going to behave, we're just going to shut this meeting down. We're going to call an executive session and we'll discuss this in private.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there was a much better way. I think they could have done a work session. There's a lot of information about data centers that's misinformation. Yes. And a lot of people are getting worked up.
Yeah.
I read a comment online where someone said, if they build this, I will die. And that's pretty dramatic.
It is. It was heightened emotions, lots of emotion.
Right.
And a lot of the same commentary coming up.
Yeah. And if you could just like do a work session, let's get to the actual questions about like how much water are you going to use? They use a closed loop system. Mm-hmm. So the water gets circulated around the building to cool it. It's not a water pig. Like, but let's get that out. How much water are you going to use? In comparison to like a farm, how much water is that in comparison to, say, a golf course? Let's have that discussion. They say it makes noise. How much noise? Is it going to violate the city's noise codes, ordinances on noise? Is it a dull hum or is it going to be a screech?
Yeah.
Right? Because if it's a dull hum, mm-hmm. That's not so bad to sleep next to. And then when they talk about electricity, and they use it on non-peak hours. So, yeah, from 1 to 6 in the morning, they're going to be using more electricity than what is typically being consumed by that area. Is that a bad thing? I know in Tennessee where they built one of these data centers, because of how much electricity they were consuming, the electricity co-op there said, because of how much we're selling to them in non-peak hours, we're going to be able to offer free electricity to every low-income homeowner in the state, right? So that's a huge trade-off that you get to offer to low-income people, but we're not even having that discussion.
Yeah, you can't even get there.
It's all about the fact that there was an NDA, which is a common business practice in almost every kind of real estate transaction. It wasn't done to be nefarious or hide anything. It was done to keep other people from purchasing the land, and all they've done now is, you know, I was on council when we rezoned this property, mm-hmm. and we did it in concert. So you had a bunch of pro-business city council candidates who were doing this in conjunction with Senate President Peter Courtney. And the idea was to take land that was not on the city tax rolls and to develop it so that it would get onto the city tax rolls. This is a good thing for Salem's general fund, which is, you know, because of PERS, mm-hmm. has been hurting, mm-hmm. and we were able to pass a levy, and that's where the way a lot of municipalities are going is to pass a levy. Then when that levy runs out, they're going to have to re-up it or find a new area of revenue. And this, at $5 billion, this is a lot of money going into the city's general fund. I mean, we're talking as much as $10 million.
Wow.
On a $100 million budget or a $110 million budget, that's a huge impact on the general fund. And we need this to pay for police, parks, fire, all the stuff that we value that keeps us safe.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have this property get developed. And I mean, it's, you know, there's lots of other uses, and it's in zoned industrial for a reason.
Right.
Right? It's clay and rocks.
So you're not going to grow anything out there.
It's hard to grow stuff. It's hard to develop it. And it's away from people. So and you got to have a certain amount of industrial land, and typically things that are dirtier and stinkier are located in industrial properties.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, Thursday afternoon, shortly after we went off the air, yeah. on Thursday, the governor's office announced that they had pulled out of the deal to sell, I think it's 72 acres, mm-hmm. which is where this would have been located, because I guess she's pandering and doesn't like business in Oregon.
That's your opinion.
That's my opinion.
Well, it is certainly a terrible message to send.
Yes.
And also to, like, what happened to local control and letting, like, let's have the discussion. Let's have it be a Salem-based discussion. Let's talk about, like, we're doing right now.
Right.
Let's ask the questions. I mean, I know when Brad and I were on council, we still would have been concerned about all the things that people are bringing up. We would have asked the questions. How much water are you going to use? When you get done using it, is it, how dirty is it? Is it, I mean, we don't want, obviously nobody wants to see, you know, contaminated water be put into people's drinking systems. Like, where is it going to go? How dirty is it going to be? I, I struggle to understand how it would get super dirty being in a closed loop system. Yeah. And then getting discharged into, you know, where's it going to get discharged into? I mean, these are questions that we have to ask. And I think Varis is prepared. They seem like thoughtful people that are like, these are, just think of cell phones, right? When cell phones first came out, remember how big they were?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I had one, the original Motorola brick. I had one.
Motorola brick, right? Yep. And over time, they've gotten smaller, more yep. efficient. And that's the same thing with data centers. My understanding is yep. that data centers, they've learned a lot from what was inefficient 20 years ago to how to make these more efficient, more environmentally friendly. And that's their goal. And that's what they are going to be looking to construct. But let's have the discussion on it now. Yeah, the governor came in and I was surprised because I thought that we had already purchased all the acreage that yeah. was out there. And so she said, nope, we're not going to do it on these 72 acres. I'm like, okay, fine. We're going to move then to property that's privately controlled out there and we'll just build it there.
So it's not, it hasn't stopped anything.
It's not going to stop anything. The city is like, they want to explore a moratorium on data centers. And they've got their application in before they could do the that. So all the governor did was get this moved closer to where people live. It's going to be closer to Corbin
Choice
University.
Seems to be the way. Yeah, let's get the government involved. That'll make it better.
It reminded me of, you know, back 20, 26 years ago when the mayor of Salem said, well, you know what, we're going to do an ordinance that will ban people cutting trees. And so before they even voted on it, before they even had the hearing to talk about what it would look like, there were more trees cut down in Salem than any time in like 1 week. There were more trees cut down than any time in our city's history. Right. So the one thing that the guy thought he was going to prevent, the mayor thought he was going to prevent, ended up happening, causing way more people. So nobody ever stops to think about, gosh, if we don't sell them these 72 acres, which they took the worst 72 acres on the site to build this. It was the farthest away from anything. They'd have to bring more infrastructure to it. So it's the worst property. All she did was move it closer to where people live. So,
and it's 72 acres that we are not currently getting any tax revenue from, but we would have been getting tax revenue from it in the long run.
Right. You're going to have to displace some possums and skunks to make this property go, but and you're right, we're not getting anything from it right now.
Yeah. And then again, not being able to have that conversation, we're going to take a break. You want to stick around for one more
sure.
segment? We'll close out the half hour. Again, we're talking with TJ Sullivan, Hagen Hamilton Insurance Company, about data centers. So come on back on the other side.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering.
All right, we're wrapping up our conversation today with TJ Sullivan from Hagen Hamilton Insurance, talking about data centers. You know, I'm just listening to you and kind of what I've been observing, and Hunter, we've all been observing, watching the meetings. I haven't landed anywhere on data centers. I still am in like fact finding. I don't know. I hear the water issues and the noise, and those are very, very valid issues. But then I also see the fiscal and what it would bring to the city and the impact that way. And so what, like you're saying, that to me, this is really a disservice to the entire community that the conversation can't even move forward to have well-intentioned questions put out there. Like you said, you as a counselor back in the day would have been asking those questions.
I think we all would have been.
Yeah.
Like, help us understand what the impact to the community, good and bad.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, I live here. I don't want loud noise. I don't want
brown water. I mean, we've all seen the videos.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want that. That's, I'm born and raised here. I got friends all over this town, so I don't want, but I do want to have the discussion because it is a benefit to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that drove me insane when I was a city councilor was looking at Eugene. So we're similar size to Eugene.
Yeah, we go back and forth between who's got the
got more people.
Second highest.
Yeah, who's number two?
Yeah.
But I remember looking at their city budget, and their city budget is so much beefier than ours because they do have a better industrial sector than we do. And those industrial land sectors pay more in property taxes. And so I want to see our general fund grow and not by having residents pick up the tax bill. I mean, if we can Varis is happy to pay the property taxes here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one thing. I mean, I would, as a city councilor, I would not be looking to give them any property tax breaks. I think we learned that with Mitsubishi Silicon when they were here,
mm-hmm.
right? We gave them a ton of property tax breaks, and they were here until those property tax breaks ran out. And then they're like, hey, we're closing. Everybody's laid off, and we're going to move to another community that's going to give us property tax breaks. Well, that doesn't do you any good.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And that was, you know, Peter Courtney understood that, and Senator Courtney's, it was not a great deal for the state because, you know, they operate off of income taxes. And so he's like, well, if we sell this land and you guys can develop, it'll be good for the city of Salem's property tax base, which is true. That benefits all the residents.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, getting people who are screaming and yelling and, you know, treating people unfairly. And there was the gentleman who's looking to develop the cannery project here in Salem, which is a $300 million investment. People followed him out because he was in favor of the
data center.
The data center. He was there to testify in favor of it. And people followed him out and somebody threw something at him.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, not only now you don't know when somebody throws something at you. It could be paper. It could be a rock.
Right.
You have no idea. And this is a guy who wants to invest $300 million in Salem, developing a rundown piece of property into something that will provide housing and jobs. And that's, again, you know, people from out of Salem, that's how they treated him. And that was just super disheartening as a local to see that happening. And I was very glad the next day to get that taste out of my mouth by going to the opening of the Family Resource Advocacy Network,
mm-hmm.
which is Gary Epping and the Epping Foundation, the Epping family. Thank you very much for your investment. This is on the family homestead property out on East Lancaster. And this is going to be done in conjunction with Catholic Community Services. And they are looking to help low-income families that need just, like, what are the resources that are out there to help my family in this process? And this building is designed, it's going to be staffed and built to help families be connected with resources to help their families. That's Salem. Neighbors helping neighbors,
yeah.
not government helping neighbors, not, you know, pointing the blame and or saying, why did you shouldn't have had kids if you weren't prepared financially. Well, some people just aren't prepared. And it's great to be able to have Catholic Community Services and the Epping family come alongside these families when they're getting started to help them get the proper healthy start that they need.
Nice. And then again, that's Salem.
That's Salem.
Yeah.
Well, I sit here and go the whole data center thing and you know, everyone gets whipped up when you see these stories, especially coming out of, you know, the eastern part of the U.S. about how much damage it does to the water and to the electric and this and that. I go,
I will die.
What you need to realize is those stories are all old 20, 25, 30 year old data centers that technology has advanced.
Yeah. Call your friend on your brick phone
and not been not willing to have the conversation of how have these things changed to not end up in the same situation is horrendous to me.
Yeah. Because you know what? Funny though. I bet the mustache probably still has the brick phone laying around somewhere. He keeps everything.
Yeah. He could probably go on eBay and sell it
for like $1,000
to some theater company that wants to like, remember what life was like way back when.
Somebody that's doing a Saved by the Bell musical.
Well, I think I bought it in like 1993. So, no, I think it's important that that distinction of how really, really what Salem is, and it is coming together for projects like that and not what's happening right now. We've got a couple of minutes left with you, TJ. There's a meeting tonight.
Right. The meeting tonight. And I'm curious to see which way they go now knowing that this is zoned industrial. It's a permitted use. Data centers are a permitted use mm-hmm. on this property. I'm curious to see which way they'll go. If they're going to be like, okay, let's have a discussion
mm-hmm.
about just what exactly we're talking about here in terms of noise and electrical use and water consumption. Let's have that discussion and get the facts out. Or are they going to make it a finger pointing, blaming
redo
hysteria?
Of the last one.
I hope not. I hope this is just an information, like we're just going to do an information dump and we're going to let get out as many questions as possible. What's an NDA? Why would you sign an NDA in this?
I hope they do that, because there seem to be a lot of people that did not know. And first of all, can you explain, you know, what does the acronym mean? I always ask that people who are like it's like, well, what's the acronym mean? Let's start there. What's your knowledge of that?
Yeah. Non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah. And like you said, and I've seen from a lot of people and a lot of business owners that it's, especially with government and that kind of, that it is pretty common.
Well, you don't want somebody to come in underneath you and be like, hey, I'd like to buy that property. Because it is, the property is, it's terrible property. You would never buy this in a million years for most anything that you would do in life, right? You wouldn't want to open a business here, and for an industrial site, like you'd buy something that was closer to where all the utilities are.
Yeah.
Well, I can guarantee. Here's a simple example. The new Costco building, they had an NDA because the last thing they wanted is Sam's Club to say, hey, that looks like a real nice property. Maybe we should move in there.
Right.
Well, hopefully it'll be a different meeting tonight, and it'll be an information gathering, and there'll be none of what we saw at the last meeting, because again, that was discouraging, and that doesn't send a very good message out to the rest of the business world about, hey, we got a welcome mat out for you. Doesn't feel that welcoming when you do that.
Well, and the council is going to be changing in January. Yep. I hope this is not going to become the norm.
Yeah.
That, oh, you don't like what people are saying? Well, you just show up and intimidate and menace them into silence.
Yeah. Yeah. TJ, always a pleasure. Again, TJ Sullivan, Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Really great information. Appreciate your insights on this. I think it's good that we continue to have a community conversation about it. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us today on this lovely Monday. Not too smoky. I'm very glad about that.
Yeah, that might change a little bit.
I know. My eyes are starting to burn a little.
You know, heat, stagnant air, and smoke.
And it's going to be hot later in the week. So let's move on and talk about something that's comfortable and lovely. We're going to talk to Luke Vetris and Sundy. We're going to talk Vim Hyper Wellness, one of our sponsors. We hear from them a lot. Warren does a lot of work with them. Mm-hmm. And so we've got Luke and Sundy in the studio with us. You guys have an event coming up. So first of all, tell us about Vim Hyper Wellness, and then let's hear about the event.
Yeah, so Vim Hyper Wellness is a business that came out of something that happened in our family 5 years ago. My uncle had a heart attack. Triple bypass surgery, kind of abruptly. We didn't expect it. I met with a doctor. He said that's 30 years in the making is what he told me. So heart attacks don't just happen in the moment. Long story short, we found out about a treatment called ECP therapy, external counterpulsation, that increases blood circulation, increases blood vessels, increases blood flow, and has changed his life again.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. And we've helped a lot of people in the last 3 years.
I know when Warren's out there, I mean, he has testimonials. I think Warren has even done it and really raves about
Warren it. Warren has had amazing effects.
He's like a whole new man.
He has. He is a whole new man, yeah.
I believe both him and his wife after surgery actually
have used
the treatment.
That is great. Yeah. So that's exciting technology. And that's nice. And I know a lot of people are trying to be healthier and to kind of do it a little more naturally. So this kind of fits the bill.
So not only does it help with treating issues after they've arose, but also it's a massive preventative. So a lot of people prevent using our therapy to help increase blood circulation and blood vessels so that act like natural bypasses. This treatment actually creates natural bypasses in the heart. So you don't have to have surgery, but you got
that would be a stent.
It's much more
like
effective
that.
If you do it preventative. Yeah. So before you do stents, before you do bypass surgery, before you have any kind of invasive things or blood pressure medications, how many friends do you have that are on blood pressure medications?
See, this radio, you can't see my face.
This treatment treats it. It also prevents you from having to get on those things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get on them, and then once they do our treatment, they don't have to be on them anymore.
Yeah. Well, plus my understanding is you just feel really great.
You do.
You just, energy levels are up. Everything is up. And any other, are they, other than the heart, what other benefits are there to this?
Oh, that's a great question. Wow. You're a seasoned pro. That's a good question. So, I'll say this. First off, besides the heart, it gets blood circulation to the brain.
Yeah.
The brain needs a lot of blood flow to work. Well, my background, I actually had Lyme disease. So that's kind of random, but it almost killed me. So I value these kinds of things substantially because I see the benefit. It not only increases your heart health and your circulation to your extremities, your feet, your entire body, but also your brain. I had massive brain fog. Tired brain a lot. And when you do this, you'll feel it right away. You get circulation to the brain, blood flow to the brain that brings oxygen and nutrients to the brain. The brain lights up like a light bulb and you can think more clearly. Not just when you do it, but afterwards as well. Another thing that a lot of people, it's prolific, but it's not talked about all the time, is sexual health. It brings nitric oxide. It increases your nitric oxide in the body massively, which is the same thing that Viagra and Cialis do.
Right.
So stop the pill, come do ECP. You can get blood flow to the areas that matter the most. Can I say that online?
Guys, dry.
Okay.
Somebody's like purling over. Okay. Wait, how do I, what?
Dude, if you don't do it for yourself, do it for your wife. Have her call us and get a time to come in. Anyway, we'll talk about that all.
Let me make a quick note for everybody listening to this. All of this is linked up in show notes. No worries.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry. And I was going to say, you were like a ball of energy. So clearly. So, okay. Let's segue over. You've got an event. Sundi, come tell us about the event.
Okay. Well, we are going to do a Nip It in the Bud health seminar at Shira's restaurant Wednesday morning, August 5th at 8:30. And it's going to be a spectacular breakfast. If you've never eaten there, you should. It's delicious.
We love Shira's.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So don't miss out. Seating is limited. So you want to book your seat today. But basically at VIM, we're going to, our goal is to maximize health and wellness. And we are going to talk about this, with a live ultrasound demonstration at Shira's. And that's where I come in. I'm the ultrasound tech. I have a mobile ultrasound business called Oregon Sonography. And I kind of travel throughout the Willamette Valley, doing ultrasounds, diagnostic ultrasounds in doctor's offices. I actually, after this, I'm going to a patient's house and I'm going to do an ultrasound for them there.
What a great service.
Yeah. It's really great for patients that, maybe they're not as mobile.
Yeah.
They can't transport. Maybe they have phobia or they don't really love being in the hospital, which you don't want to be there unless you have to be.
Pretty much.
So yeah, this is, and it's actually way more affordable than even any imaging clinic around.
That's good, because you'd almost think it would be, because it would be, it almost feels like a premium service, but it doesn't have a premium price.
Yeah, it's because we don't deal with insurance. So it's all private pay without insurance, and we kind of cut out the middleman. So the price is much lower. An example would be like a pelvic transvaginal ultrasound, $1,500 at a hospital or outpatient, $300 for me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy the difference. But like I said, I'm going to be there at Shira's, and I'm going to be doing a live ultrasound of a carotid, it's called a CIMT test, and you'll see why we use the abbreviations, because it's basically carotid intima media thickness.
Say that three times.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, it's basically just the kind of the wall thickness of the carotid artery, and it gives us this kind of systemic look of what's going on in your arteries. Basically, we can age your arteries. And tell you how you're aging and how your arteries are aging throughout your body from this one measurement.
Wow.
It'll tell us if there's going to be plaque development, and it'll give us a risk assessment. Basically, we can say you're at a very high risk.
Yeah.
You need to start treatment now. And we catch it. That's the nip it in the bud part. We catch it early, and you can do the ECP treatment before it gets to a point that you have to take more serious
Become really a medical patient then at that
exactly.
point. So you, and then I'm sure at that time too, you know, hey, you maybe want to cut back on the cheeseburgers.
Right.
Make some dietary changes. Maybe walk a little.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So all of that would be good information. So are you expecting a lot of people?
I think so. I think we're, we haven't actually heard the exact number yet, but I think we're expecting up to 30 people. So.
Well, you picked a good venue. Cheers is great. Get a tomahawk steak while you get another. Does that sound a little like, right? What? I know, but see, but if you know everything and what everything that's going on and you're good and clear, it's like, get that tomahawk and enjoy it, but go for a walk.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So.
So what else? What else do you want to share with us?
Well, I just want to say this.
Here, let's
Sunday's test shows, I've seen her do it now. It's incredible. You watch it on a live screen.
Yep.
It's a simple carotid artery examination. So she does an ultrasound of your carotid artery in your neck. No radiation, right?
No radiation.
No radiation. And it shows?
It shows wall thickening, which is the first sign of plaque formation.
Yeah.
So first we're going to see this this kind of like wall thickening. And then after that, we're going to start seeing soft plaque develop, which is the very dangerous part of plaque. It's the kind that can rupture. It can cause right here in the carotid artery where we're measuring it, this is going to be the part that causes 70% of strokes.
Okay.
So this is really, really important to see this. Yeah.
Wow. So I got a question for you. This is not something necessarily related to age. Are you seeing any of these symptoms in younger people?
Yes, we do. And actually, it's what we're kind of doing is we're picking it up before the symptoms start.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as we know, 1 in 4 people, the first sign of a stroke is a stroke.
Is the stroke. Yes. Yeah.
And so this, the whole point of this is to catch it and start doing prevention before it gets to that point that you're having symptoms. And we know big healthcare systems, they're not going to treat it when you don't have symptoms.
Right.
They're going to treat it once your symptoms start. And at that point, sometimes it's you're in a much more serious position. Yeah,
it almost kind of backwards to do it that way. So this is being very proactive on that.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
So just because of my background, I've been sick for a long time.
Yeah.
I've been around the medical system a lot. There's so many good things about our medical system, and there's also some weaknesses.
Yep.
And one of the main things is that most of our medical Western concept mm-hmm. has to do with cutting things out yep. or masking things with drugs.
Yeah.
And if you follow the money, it's like billions and billions of dollars that go into specifically heart interventions, heart invasive heart surgeries, stents, bypasses, all these things like
yeah.
that. And the same thing with hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars for heart medications.
Yep.
And so the reason you haven't heard of some of these things that we're talking about is not because it hasn't been well established and been around for years and decades.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you haven't heard about it is because it would cut drastically into the profit margins of the Western medical system.
Yep.
Many of the doctors are incredible doctors. They get into it because they want to help people.
Sure.
But then they're the system itself is for profit. And so they don't even tell them about some of the things that work to prevent issues and cardiac events and all these things way before it becomes an issue in your life. Heart disease is the number one killer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's inarguable. Like, heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. Like Sunny said, every 34 seconds, someone dies.
Yep.
34 seconds.
Yikes.
And that is much more than cancer takes, mm-hmm. all the forms of cancer in a year, car accidents, any of these other things that we think
that's
are high
incredible.
Indicators.
Wow. Yeah.
Cardiovascular disease, heart disease mm-hmm. is the number one killer. And if we actually went to prevention before people had issues, like I said with my uncle, the doctor told me, well, that's been 30 years in progression.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have known about ECP therapy before it became a problem, we probably would have never had to have him go through this suffering and all the stuff that he had to go through in this horrible, tragic time. He was told he'd be on medications for the rest of his life, a nice handful of medications.
Yeah, joy.
He's not on anything. He hasn't
He's
been
not on
any,
anything.
No,
wow,
not for 4 years since we found out about ECP. He's been doing that. Why? Because ECP opens up your blood vessels, creates new blood vessels, and makes it so your heart works the way it's supposed to. What Sundy does is absolutely incredible. Sundy actually helps identify your risk. This test identifies risk up to 98% for both heart attack and stroke. So heart attack and stroke, 98% risk detection before you have a problem so you don't have to deal with the ramifications and the difficult recovery. And a lot of people never fully recover.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that want more information about this that probably potentially want to attend. So give us the details as we wrap up.
Yes. So this Wednesday, so there's not much time. Like this is in 2 days. It's breakfast. It's called our Nip It in the Bud Health Seminar. Why Nip It in the Bud? Because we want to prevent before you have a problem. Nip It in the Bud Health Seminar at Cheers Restaurant. Like they said, incredible food. If you just want to come for the food, come for the food. Come and listen to me and Sunny talk. Watch Sunny do the demonstration. It's going to be very interesting. It's very informative. Could save your life or a friend or family member's life. But in the middle of it, you're going to get great breakfast at Cheers. This Wednesday morning, 2 days from now, August 5th at 8:30 a.m., great breakfast. If that's the only reason you're coming, again, I'm going to say it again. The food's going to be incredible. 8:30 a.m., come. If you have any friend, family member, anyone that has any kind of slowing of their health, low vitality, any of those things, come or tell them about it so they can come. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always go back because me and Luke have had a couple of conversations. It takes me to my grandfather. He passed away a number of years ago, but I have a story where he pretty much had a heart attack. My mom took him in, and the only reason he didn't have a catastrophic heart attack was because one of the arteries that had a bypass in it opened up enough. I mean, he had clogged arteries galore, and I'm going, if he had known about this, he could have extended his life. Who knows? Yeah. He could still be alive today.
Absolutely.
Wow. So Vim Hyper Wellness, the website. What's the website?
Yeah, it's Vim Hyper. Our website is Vim Hyper Wellness. That's V-I-M. Vim for Vim and Vitality or Vim and Vigor.
Mm-hmm.
VimHyperWellness.com. And you can also call it 503-990-8106. That's 503-990-8106. Call today. Breakfast is in 2 days. Please come. It's going to bless you greatly.
Wonderful. Well, you guys are great spokespeople for this. It's going to be a great event. Again, we've been talking with Luke Vetras and Sundy. I encourage people to go. Again, all of this is in show notes. We will link it up. You don't need to worry about that. And well, appreciate you guys coming in. How exciting.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you guys are great spokespeople for it. So, we're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud. You got to nip it in the bud. Nip it.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
Ooh, Cozy's is in my future.
And so Cheers excited. And Cheers. All sorts of, there's so many good eats around here.
And
like TJ said, it's so Salem.
I love Salem.
Go out and enjoy them.
Enjoy
the benefits of Salem.
Well, I love downtown. It's awesome. So yeah, but I definitely think there's got to be a gabagool in my future. obviously the other thing, and then this has been crazy if you've been following the news over the weekend, Spokane, Washington. I mean, absolutely devastating fire. I have some friends that are in Southern Oregon in the Weezer area, and she woke up to, I mean, no sleep Saturday night because it was literally a half a mile from her home. There are really hot spots all over. Of course, Weezer's right on the border with Oregon and Idaho. Spokane, obviously, is the furthest east. 600 homes. I mean, this makes me angry because we don't have to live like this. Mm-hmm. This is the direct result of policies and decisions that have been made over the decades.
Yeah, I have an aunt who's living out in eastern Washington.
Yeah.
I got a picture, I believe it was Saturday. They were on level one evacuation, had their horse trailer attached up and ready to go at a moment's notice. And that's what really gets to me. It's like we know this is coming every year, and yet we do nothing to prevent it and work at it at the policy level, at the leadership level. And then when it does happen, our governors in Washington and Oregon are kicking and screaming and saying we need more federal money to fix it.
And it's climate change. No, it's because we don't log anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the day, of course, we've talked about this, obviously, when we talked about the author of Oregoners. Those were decisions that were made in the 80s and 90s. All of a sudden, the spotted owl and all of this that came up and vilifying an entire industry that basically was the industry in Oregon. And when you have the stewards of the forest, meaning loggers that are out there, when you have those service roads open and those logging roads open, if they saw something when they were out there, they put it out. Now you can't get in to the forests. By the time you can even see it, it's so far gone that you're dealing with, in many cases, hundreds and if not thousands of acres. And so this is the direct result of progressive Democrat policies over the last 40 years. And I'm angry about it. And my heart breaks for the families that lost everything in Spokane. Same thing in the Palisades, homes that are lost every time. Maui, I mean, you see all these fires. It doesn't have to be this way.
Well, we talked last week a little bit about the urban wildfires, and Spokane is going through that at this very moment.
Yep.
I believe the numbers this morning I was seeing are 600 to 700 structures have burned in Spokane, Washington.
60,000 families displaced, people displaced. You talked about your aunt with farm animals. Mm-hmm. You've got animals that are out there. Other ones, I mean, the animals get injured and scared. And you have 15 minutes to pack out and you've got a farm. What do you do?
Yeah. After getting the little video clip over the weekend, we actually had kind of the discussion with our kids. And it's like in some of these scenarios, if you leave the animals locked away in a barn or in a coop or anything else, you know they're going to perish. So people in emergency situation, open the doors and let their animals run.
Yep.
Because they have a better chance of surviving when these things are out of control. And that's the other frustrating part. Not only do we do no preventative maintenance to keep this from happening, the response to it when there's small fires that could probably easily contained and put away, we just kind of let them burn for a while until they get absolutely out of control because of wind.
Yeah.
Or,
well, and that's what happened in Spokane. Mm-hmm. It was the winds picked up. Saturday morning, this afternoon, that started. By Sunday, neighborhoods are gone.
Well, it's what happened here in the gorge.
Yeah, in the canyon. Yeah,
a few years ago in the canyon, and I just to hear the stories and the loss, and for that to pretty much be forgotten and fall on deaf ears. It happened in the Palisades. Happens in Maui. It's happening now here in the Pacific Northwest. To not become better reactive when fires do strike, whether it's lightning or human caused, God forbid. And I just, that's what gets to me, is we're not doing enough to prevent in the first place and react in the second place.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely maddening. And then all of the smoke is kind of going east. And I think you were saying before we went on the air, the wind's going to shift now, where so, it's going to kind of go more south.
Yeah, the prediction of we're going to get a westerly wind through eastern Washington, eastern Oregon, and then a southern wind along the coastline and through the valley. So what it's going to do is bring the smoke in and then bring it south to us. Supposedly at some point today, the smoke's going to get heavier over here. And then of course the heat, we're going to be looking at mid 90s for a chunk of this week. So we're going to be kind of socked in with stagnant air, smoke in the air. The good news is sometime between Wednesday, Thursday, they're saying we should get a easterly wind again and blow it out, which is just in time for us to be at the Polk County Fair later this week.
Oh, that's right. We're going to be at the fair. And again, we're broadcasting at the fair from 11 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I've got Representative Anna Scharf is going to be joining us. We're working on a guest list. We always love being out at the fair.
These fair experiences are great. So yes, 11 to 1 on Thursday from the Polk County Fair for us. And then Jake's Rural Matters show will be out there on Friday from 11 to 1.
Okay. And I'm sure he's got some great guests lined up as well.
And I'm sure, yeah, FFA. And yeah. I love our spot out there because we are right there by the animal kind of little ring where they walk the animals.
And then
through.
The food's right behind us. So it's always a good spot. So
it'll
definitely
keep us hungry.
Are we doing anything fun, anything extra fun or anything? I know we did some cool stuff at the Marion County Fair.
I know we'll probably have some giveaways and some little trinkets and things like that. And then, of course, Warren's out there on Saturday morning for the Beautiful Baby Contest.
How do you judge a beautiful baby contest?
Well,
I have a baby that I know that should get into that contest because that baby would win.
I have one too. We could have a little
We're going to have the dueling babies, the dueling grandbabies. I don't know, Hunter, fisticuffs.
That's right.
Mine's cuter. No, mine's cuter.
Well, we can, I think there's an award for just about everybody that gets in there. They come up with a bunch of different categories. Nice. Mine might win the most hair.
mine definitely wouldn't win that. Not yet, anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we got a couple minutes left. Oh, what was the other thing? There was so much news happening. Oh, real quick. Of course, that horrible shooting in Twin Falls.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is a good guy with a gun story. And I'm really, really happy about that. And Idaho should be very, very proud. The memes going around are Idaho shoots back. Because it was a good guy with a gun who probably saved a lot of lives by getting that guy. He didn't end up, it was a self-inflicted that took the creep out that did it.
But enough to scare him.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then there was an off-duty cop who got involved. So there were two heroes, good guys with guns.
And see, that's the other thing is we're seeing more of these kinds of things happening. There was a house party shot up in Seattle over the weekend. And of course, this comes on the tails of what all went on in Seattle during their bite of Seattle at the Space Needle. And we are our first responders.
Yep.
We have to be prepared. You know, I on a 12, I'm not saying don't go out and enjoy life, but at the same time, we need to be prepared in case tragedy tries to strike.
You were getting a burger at In-N-Out Burger and your life potentially. There were witnesses that were talking about it. One individual was a worker at the In-N-Out who is no longer with us because this cretin decided to take it upon himself. I don't even know where he's from. The details are coming out. No names. I'm not saying the dude's name. Mm-hmm. But this other guy, this, I forget his name now, Salinas, had been training. So.
Yeah.
Be prepared. Always be prepared. Keep your head on a swivel. You are your first responder.
There you go.
All right, everybody. That's it for us. We got Solomon Yu and Carrie McQuiston on tomorrow to talk about their new book. So that'll be a great show. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.